Ladies, this Saturday, you are invited to come to Woven. Woven is an acronym that stands for Women of Victory Enjoying New Life. And it's here on Saturday at 10 a.m. So I invite all the ladies to come out and participate in that. And it's an awesome time. I get to hear the before and after. So ladies, come at 10 a.m. on Saturday. And also, we're having a chicken barbecue. For what's that for?
We have flyers for people to take and distribute to the community.
Okay. Yeah, here, there's some flyers in the back about the chicken barbecue there. And tickets are available for $8. And that'll be Saturday, May 24th. So if you know some people, the first time we had a chicken barbecue was a couple months ago, and it was awesome. And we're just looking to exceed this, and all the money that's raised from our chicken barbecue is going to be for our trip that's going to Guyana. So. Yeah, why don't you say something about her gift? And child care will be provided by me and some of the other guys. So if you, if that's an issue, we'll watch your children for you. And I just want to read a portion of a scripture from Luke 21, verses 1 through 3. And Jesus was standing by the offering. And he said, the Lord looked up and saw the rich dropping their offerings into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow dropping in two tiny coins. And he said, I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put it in more than all of them. For all these people have put in their gifts out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty has put in all that she had to live on. So apparently, you know, if offerings weren't important, he wouldn't be watching it. Amen? So here at VCF, we don't pass a container, but we do have an opportunity for you to invest in the kingdom of God, and you can do that anytime during the service. So it's in the back there, and the Lord will bless you. Amen? Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like you to go to the 1 John chapter 5. And we began this 2 weeks ago, and then we took a Dr. Ron break, and we're continuing on, just talking about your victorious faith. You know what? In life, you're going to have challenges. There are going to be obstacles. There's going to be things that you have to overcome. But I want you to know that God gave you a faith that's tough. Amen? He gave you a faith that can face challenges head on, and it's not afraid, because through your faith, you will overcome anything that comes against you.
Amen?
Amen? Your faith makes you like a superhero.
Amen.
If you were to be like Superman and, you know, pull back, there'd be an F there for faith. All right, 1 John chapter 5 says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that begot loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Aren't you glad that his commandments aren't grievous? In other words, God designed his commandments to be kept, so he made them easy. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, how do you get born of God? You have to do one thing that starts with the letter B. You have to believe, right? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are begotten of God, and you are automatically made an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, here's in verse 5 is where we really want to get to. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And verse 4, I forgot to read. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Okay? So, you know, there are forces that come against you. We've got flesh to deal with. We've got the world to deal with. And the world represents the world system. How many know that the world is operating on a system right now? And the system that the world is operating by is going to fail. All right? The system will fail. And then we have Satan to contend with. But through faith, faith was designed to overcome. Faith was designed to deal with challenges and to get the victory over them. Okay? And even though we have forces that are against us, we also have equipment to overcome those forces, right? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Say, my faith, overcomes the world. Okay? And God has equipped every believer to overcome anything that opposes you. All right? That's good news. And, you know, when you believe in who Jesus is, right? You believe that he's the Son of God. You believe that he's your healer. You believe that he's the Savior. You believe that he's the Prince of Peace. You believe that he's the Creator, right? Whatever you need, you got to believe that Jesus is whatever you need, okay? And you got to love him. So you got to believe in who Jesus is, and you got to love him. How many love God? Amen? His love gets sweeter and sweeter. And you've got to be begotten of him. All right? You've got to be born of God. And then you got to love God and you got to love people. And you got to keep his commandments. Those five things are going to help us overcome. And I gave this last time, but here are some elements of victorious faith. All right? These are ingredients or elements. Number one, you must have knowledge of God, his word, and his will. In order for you to have a faith that overcomes, you've got to know something. You've got to have knowledge of God, you've got to have knowledge of his will, and you've got to have knowledge of his word. All right? Why? Because his word is the title deed. Okay? How do you know that your car that you have is yours? Because you have a title to it. How do you know that a property is yours? Because you have a title deed to the property, right? Well, the Bible or the Word of God is the title deed to all of God's promises. Okay? Number two, these are elements of victorious faith. God's Word must be communicated to you in some way. Faith comes by what? Hearing what? Hearing God's word. So in order for you to have faith for something, you've got to hear what God's word says about it. If there's no word from God on a subject, you can't really have faith for it, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So number two is the word of God must be communicated to you in some way. And I say some way because there's a lot of ways that God can communicate his word to us, right? We can read it, we can hear it, we can see it, he can show us in a dream. You know, there's lots of ways that God can communicate his word to us, Okay, number three, a third element of victorious faith is you must accept God's word as the only way. You must believe it to be absolutely true, and you must find it trustworthy to stand on, be held up by, and be practiced in daily living. All right, that's a lot. I'll say that again. Third element of victorious faith is you must accept the Bible as the only way. Amen. How many know that there's not two ways? How many ways are there to heaven? One way. Okay? You've got to believe God's word to be absolutely true. Right? If you don't believe it's true, then you're not going to trust it if it's not true. Okay? You have to find it trustworthy. In other words, you've got to know that the word can hold you up no matter what. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words what? Will never pass away. So isn't it easy to trust something that's never going to pass away? Okay? You must find it trustworthy to stand on, be held up by, and practiced in daily living. Okay? God gives us his word so that we could do it. He said, don't be hearers only, but be doers of the word. Right? So if he told us to do the word, then we could do it. It's practical. Okay? The fourth element of victorious faith, faith has to be released through some action that demonstrates and reinforces what you believe. What did you do to get saved? Believed and what else? And confessed. Do you realize that confession may be the only action that you need to take, but faith is always coupled with action. And the action that you take must demonstrate and reinforce what you believe. Okay? So I'll say it again. Faith is released through some action that demonstrates and reinforces what you believe. Jesus told the man with the withered hand, what did he tell him? To stretch forth his hand. Well, how do we know that he believed that? Because his hand was withered, but he stretched it forth. He took an action. If you read Hebrews 11, underline how many action words are in that chapter. Okay? The fifth element of victorious faith. Your heart and your mouth must agree 100% about what God said and about what his will is. Your heart, man believes with the heart, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Your heart and your mouth must agree 100% about what God said and about what his will is. Okay? If you got something in your heart and you're saying something different with your mouth, faith will not work. Because faith requires your mouth and your heart to be in 100% complete, absolutely perfect agreement. Okay? The sixth element of victorious faith. Faith will produce results, and it does not expire until it manifests what you desire. How do you know when someone's in faith? Faith will produce results. Say, faith works. Right? It does. It works. Abraham was in faith. How do we know? Because he believed God for a son, and even though it took 25 years, he had a son. So, I'll read it again, because I know I'm a note taker, so for every note taker, amen. Faith will produce results, and it does not expire until it manifests what you desire. Because once it's manifested, you don't need faith for it anymore. Because faith has to do with evidence that you can't see and things hoped for. All right, the seventh element of victorious faith. Faith pleases God, and he will abide by your faith. He will allow your faith to set the parameters of how you want his power to manifest. What did Jesus say to the woman with the issue of blood? He said, daughter, your faith has what? Notice, it was her faith, it was her action. She said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. So then what did she have to do? She had to touch his clothes, because that showed that her heart and her mouth were in agreement. Okay? So God, faith pleases God, and he will abide by your faith. 11 out of the 19 accounts in the Gospels had to do with the people's faith. It was by their faith that they caused the miracle. Okay? So faith pleases God. He'll abide by your faith. He will allow your faith to set the parameters of how you want his power to manifest. And then the eighth element of victorious faith, faith always has a joyful, expecting, and peaceful disposition. Faith always, everybody say always, has a joyful, peaceful, and expecting disposition. All right? Someone who's in faith is not going to walk around like they've just been sucking lemons. Okay? Because when you're in faith, it's joyful, it's restful. When you're in faith, it means you're leaning 100% on the Lord. And he'll hold you up. Okay? So what does it mean to have victorious faith? It means that Christ continually gives you strength to overcome. No matter what the challenge, God will give you strength continually to overcome. It means that you will conquer. How many know the Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, right? It will cause you to prevail. It means to get the victory. Say, I'm victorious. God has chosen each one of you to have the victory. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be unto God who always leads me to triumph. Say, I'm triumphant. Okay? That's what it means to have victorious faith. It is the means of success. It means to have a conquest. Right? Well, if you're going to conquer, you got to have something to conquer, right? But faith is the victory that overcomes the world. All right, go with me to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And we're going to see an example of a woman who had faith in God, and it forever changed her generations. This woman was written in the genealogy along with Christ, of the righteous line that Christ came through. And she entered into this line by faith. Okay? And you're going to see these elements in this story. All right? Joshua chapter 2. And it's the story of Rahab. Okay? We know that Joshua sent some spies to check out Jericho, okay? Jericho was the first city that represented the first fruit of the promised land. Jericho was the first obstacle that Joshua was going to encounter after the Jordan River, okay? The Jordan River was kind of like the boundary to get into the promised land, but Jericho was the first major obstacle that he was going to face. And we know in verse 4, the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus, there came men unto me, but I knew not where they were. So she had a place by the wall of Jericho. And apparently, when people visited Rahab, the king of Jericho knew it because he went right to her and inquired about her. All right, so she was like at the center of action of what was taking place in Jericho. And so she brought the men up to the roof, verse 6, of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up upon the roof, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land. How did she know that? See, she had some knowledge of God. She knew that the Lord had given them. Now, she's living in Jericho, and Joshua hadn't even got to Jericho yet, but she knew that God had given them the city. Okay? And your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Okay? So there was something that she knew. And verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. So she's hearing something about what God did. Faith comes by what? And hearing God's word. Okay? For you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. How did she know that? She had a revelation of who God was. Okay? So can you see faith working in her? She had this information, she had this revelation, and she wasn't even an Israelite. Okay? So she acknowledged God for who he is. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Okay, sounds like she was setting herself up to be saved. All right? Because of the message that she heard, the things that she knew, the word of God was communicated to her. Okay? And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Amen? What you sow is what you're going to reap, right? So she sows kindness, and she's expecting to reap kindness. Okay? Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way. Isn't it interesting how they had to hide 3 days? What does that remind you of? Amen? And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this your oath which you have made us swear. Behold, when we come unto the land, you shall bind this line of scarlet thread. What color is scarlet? Red. Do you realize that represents the blood of Christ? She hangs this scarlet cord from her window because of what she heard, because of what she knew, because of what was communicated to her. Her action that she takes, she deals kindly with them, but then she hangs this cord out the window as a symbol, as a sign of her belief. How many know, when you believe God, you're not afraid to show it? Amen? Because when you believe God, there comes a boldness about believing God. It does something to you. It strengthens you. It fortifies you. Amen? And nothing else can convince you otherwise. It's not going to go any other way. She put her faith on the line. I tell you what, you want to see God move in your life? Put your faith on the line. And be willing to step out into something unknown. Amen. Did it take trust for her to do this? Was she putting her life at risk in doing this? Yep, definitely. Faith is worth the risk. Okay? So she, you know, verse 21, she hung a scarlet cord through her window. And we know the story, don't we? They marched around the city, the walls fell down. Joshua and Israel rushed on Jericho. And there was Rahab's house with the scarlet thread hanging out the window. Everybody who was in that house was saved from destruction. If you weren't in Rahab's house that day, you would have been destroyed by the sword. But because of her faith, not only her, but her family was saved. And if you read the genealogy in Matthew and in Luke, you will find Rahab's name listed as part of the righteous line. This woman, whatever she was before, she became what God wanted her to be by faith. Amen. She got the victory. She had victorious faith. Her faith saved her family. The actions that she took, the faith that she demonstrated, it not only saved her, but it saved her family. Amen. Okay? Praise God. Amen. Now, here are some things that you overcome by faith. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. See, you're here tonight because God wants to instill victorious faith in each one of you. He wants to make sure that no matter what you face, no matter what comes against you, that you are equipped to get the victory over it. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of your testimony, and you love not your life to death. Say, I'm an overcomer. You have overcoming genes that have been transferred to you through a divine bloodline. You have championship blood running through your spiritual veins. You were birthed from a champion. You have a good pedigree. Amen. So you overcome the wicked one. Verses 13 to 17. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Say, I've overcome the wicked one. Did that say going to overcome? That said you already have. You have got to see yourself in a position of victory. You have got to see yourself that the moment you show up, you've already won. Amen? We know from the story of David and Goliath. When did David become a winner of that confrontation? From the moment he showed up. He heard Goliath saying things about his God. And David said, I don't think so. And no one was willing to fight Goliath except for David. Because of what he knew, because of what he heard, because of what had been communicated to him. And David went there, and you know what? We have overcome the wicked one. That's good news. And then, little children, because you have known the Father, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him, that is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. You know, if you got the word abiding in you, you're going to be strong. And you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why shouldn't you love the world? Because you have the victory to overcome the world. Listen, don't get too attached to this world, because this world is going to fade away. But where you're going is never going to fade away. Amen? Amen? So you don't want to put all your eggs in the world's basket, so to speak. All right? You've got to be eternally minded. Listen, this world is temporal, but God's kingdom is eternal. Amen. Heaven and earth, they're going to pass away one day, but God's word will never pass away. Amen. So you want to make sure that you're investing a good part of your life into something that's eternal and not something that's temporal. Amen. Okay? Then he goes on to say, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. So if you want to abide forever, what do you need to do? You need to do God's will. Just ask yourself a question. Are you doing God's will for your life right now? Because that's really what prepares you for eternity. Those who do God's will, that means ongoing, right? It didn't say those who have done the will of God, those who do God's will. He that does the will of God abides forever. You're still breathing, you still better be doing God's will. Amen. And you keep doing it until you are promoted. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 21. Here's a command. Be not overcome with evil. But then he says, overcome evil with good. Say, I'm not overcome by evil, but I overcome evil with good. In other words, you have got to counteract the evil that you face, right? You got to do something different. You got to say something different. You got to act in a different way than evil would act. You don't want to be overcome by evil, but you want to overcome evil with good, okay? Now, you know, God has rewards for everyone that overcomes. God rewards overcomers. I want you to go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. This all has to do with having a faith that overcomes the world. Your faith is victorious. Your faith is strong. Your faith is capable, because your faith comes from God. Amen. And he has designed you and made you to overcome. Say this with me. Say, bring it on. Bring it on. Why? It doesn't matter what is brought to you. You have the ability to overcome it. You have the ability to defeat it. Amen. You have the ability to get the victory over it. It could be a sickness. It could be poverty. It could be a deficiency. It could be something not working right. It could be a relationship. It could be your future. It doesn't matter. You were designed to overcome. Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Amen. I want you to own that victory. Amen. You're not a loser. You're victorious. You're a champion. Amen. I rebuke all the times that anyone was ever called a loser, because that's a lie. Amen. We're here to reverse the lie and break the curse. Because once you know the truth, the truth will set you free. I want you to be free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay? Revelation chapter 2, Look at verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen, if you're going to be an overcomer, you better listen. You better be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Because he's the only one who will bring you into all truth. Okay? Notice what it says. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. When you get to the end, and all the trials you faced, all the challenges you went through, all the obstacles you overcome, and you kept your faith in God, you kept trusting God, you kept believing God, you kept professing his word, you kept holding on, and you're going to get to the end, and he said, well done, good and faithful servant. He said he's going to invite you in, and you're going to partake of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of God. That means you've made it. That means it's smooth sailing from here on out. But notice it's to overcomers. This reward is for overcomers. People who overcome, not people who are overcome. You know, when you're facing a challenge, Ephesians 6 gives you a key. Having done all to stand, stand. I've done all I know to do, but I'm not moving. I don't care what comes against me. I don't care what happens to me. I'm not moving. I'm not going to stop believing. I'm not leaving the Lord. I'm sticking with him. I don't care what happens. I'm sticking with him.
Amen.
And you're going to overcome.
Amen.
Stephen was an overcomer.
Amen.
They couldn't argue against Stephen because he spoke by the wisdom of the Spirit of God. And he was preaching to them. And he was telling them about Jesus from Exodus to Revelation. And they didn't like what he said, so they started throwing rocks. But he kept believing. He kept holding on. And he was an overcomer because Jesus gave him a standing ovation. Look at verse 11. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. The second death is the lake of fire. So when you overcome, you will bypass the lake of fire and you'll be on the streets of gold. You'll be in the glory of God. You'll be in the presence of the Lord. But he who overcomes, you will not be hurt by the second death. That's a good reward, isn't it? That inspires you to overcome. Woo! Look at verse 17. Verse 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, only he that receives. So to every overcomer, to every person who uses their faith to overcome challenges, overcome difficulties, overcome trials, you can use your faith to get out of the valley. You can use your faith to break free of depression. You can use your faith to break free of sickness. You can use your faith to break out of poverty.
Amen.
And he's going to cause you to eat some of the hidden manna. God's got some manna stored away just for some overcomers. He's got some angel food cake in heaven for the overcomers. And he's going to give you a white stone. And he's going to write on there a new name that only you and he knows. And he's going to know you by that name. He's going to call you by that name. And that name has to do with so-and-so overcomer. You know, forget about doctor, forget about this degree, but you have a degree of, you have an overcoming degree. You're going to be known as such-and-such overcomer. Hallelujah. And I guarantee that hidden manna is going to be good. All right? Go to verse 26. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end. You know, Christianity is for people who can endure some things. Christianity is not for the weak. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the slothful, but it is for the strong. It is for the people who believe God, who hold to God, who profess His word. Okay? And he that overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over nations. You want power over nations? Well then, use your victorious faith to overcome. Okay? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers or to pieces, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Woo! The morning star, one commentator said this, it's one of the most beautiful objects in nature. It appears as the darkness passes away. It's an indication that the morning comes. Oh yeah, you may have been weeped. You may have weeped through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy is like a morning star. It's an indication that things are going to get better, that things are improving. It's intermingled with the first rays of the light of the sun. It's to announce the coming, that glorious luminary. It's a pledge of the faithfulness of God. It's to denote a bright and brilliant ornament. The morning star is something that the Savior gives you, and it represents His glory and His splendor. It could be like a gem or a diadem when the light hits it and how it glistens. So when you're an overcomer, you're going to have the morning star. You're going to rule over nations. And God's going to do some great things. Go to Revelation chapter 3. What am I talking about? I'm talking about rewards for overcomers. Say, I'm an overcomer. Then these rewards are waiting for you. But you can't get there until you overcome to the end. How many are in this for the long haul? Amen. Amen. There is no checking out early. You will be on this planet until you finish your course with joy. If you cannot finish your course with joy, it is not time for you to leave yet. Amen? So none of you, we're not having rapture practice. We're gonna make sure that our course is finished. All right, we're not checking out early. Because if all the overcomers leave early, who's left? No checking out early. Revelation 3, verse 5. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Think about this, Chris. You're an overcomer, and Jesus is going to confess your name before the Father and before angels, and you're going to be known as heaven in heaven as someone who overcame. He's going to confess your name before angels. Woo! It makes me want to overcome. Verse 12, Revelation 3. To him that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So in other words, you're going to have a permanent place in the temple of God in heaven when you're an overcomer. You're going to be as close to the Lord as you can get, and he's going to put his name on you. Amen. But this is for overcomers. This is for an elite group of people who use their faith to overcome challenges, overcome trials, overcome difficulties. Because you were destined and created to overcome. Right now, you have everything you need to overcome anything in this world. You have been equipped. Go to verse 21. To him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. How many want to sit on the throne, on God's throne? But you got to overcome. You got to face temptation and you got to resist it. You've got to keep your faith when your closest friends are criticizing you and ridiculing you and pressuring you to give up or to stop believing that quote-unquote what they call nonsense. You've got to be willing to not back down in what you believe. Right, you got to have determination. Because you're an overcomer. These are rewards for overcomers. Can the Bible be any more? To them who overcome, I'm going to do this. Revelation 12:11 says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. So your words declaring what Christ has done enables you to overcome. And this by far is my favorite reward right here. Go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verses 6 and 7. And you'll understand in just a moment why this is my favorite reward. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And didn't the Lord say that to us tonight about drinking from that? He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I want to inherit all things. So I'm going to determine tonight that I'm going to be an overcomer. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to hinder me. There's no mountain too big. There's no valley too low that I can't overcome, that I can't get through. Because if God be for me, amen, who can be against me? Amen. So I say again, bring it on. And then in Revelation 17:14. It says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Woo, the devil's going to be whooped by a lamb. Hallelujah. When they come against Israel, they're going to be whooped by a lamb. A lamb's going to be leading them to the battle, and a lamb's going to get the victory. The devil can roar like a lion, but we got a lamb that can fight and not lose. The lamb's going to tear him up. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Are you chosen tonight? Are you faithful tonight? Those are qualities of overcomers. God chose you. Now you be faithful to what he's chosen you. You be faithful to what he's called you to do. You be faithful to how he's working in your life. You be faithful to God, and don't let anything, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, because you're an overcomer. And as an overcomer, you will get these rewards. These rewards are waiting for you in heaven. Woo! Are you ready to overcome some things tonight? Why don't you stand up to your feet? And there's one other thing I got to mention. I got to mention this. Come on, there we go. Romans 9:33 says this. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There might be some people tonight that are dealing with shame. It has to do with guilt, embarrassment, dishonor. But I want you to know that when you put your faith in God, you will not be shamed. But by putting your faith in God, he will turn your shame around. He will remove the reproach off of you. I felt really strong in my heart when I was looking over my notes that there might be some people tonight that have felt ashamed. But the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, to salvation, to them that believe. Amen? Are you a believer tonight? If you've ever been subject to shame, guilt, and condemnation, you can be free from that tonight. All you got to do is believe. The moment you believe, shame is taken off you, the shackles are removed, the prison is open, and you become free in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here tonight that fits that bill, but if you are here tonight, and if you've ever experienced shame or you're dealing with it right now, you can come tonight and you can be free from it. And God will remove it from you.
Jesus, I long
amen?
To be holy.
And maybe there's some other
Jesus,
people that you're in the midst of challenges.
In a world
you're in the midst of difficulties.
So
and you just need an anointing to break through of what you're facing in this moment and in this hour of your life. There is a breakthrough anointing here tonight in the name of Jesus. And the anointing is just what you need to push through. Just like when the anointing fell when Joshua shouted and they blew the trumpets. There was an anointing, but they had to do what they had to do. They had to do what God said. And when they did what God said, God did what he said he was going to do. And the anointing came down, and walls were broken down, and Jericho was given for Israel. So if you're dealing with shame, come up here right now and get free. If you need an anointing to break through, come up now and receive your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sokura boka sanda. Iela marobo kosanda la bako sanda la maka siti ela mama. Iela marabato kosanda la mama. Ah, yes, 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 yes. I'm here to say the devil is a liar and he's heading for the fire. But God wants to take you higher than you've ever gone. He wants to do things that you've never done. He wants to make the impossible possible right now for you. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you right now that because she believes you, because she trusts you, she's going to experience the freedom that you promise her. In Jesus' name, I declare her to be free indeed. In Jesus' name. No more shame, no more guilt, no more condemnation, but true freedom in Christ Jesus to be and to do what he's called you to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
It is in the blood. It's all in the blood.
I want you to praise him like you've never praised him before. I want you to just let loose right now in Jesus' name. Let loose and just let God do what he needs to do in you in Jesus' name. Don't hold back. Just whatever it is, you just let it go with all of its might and all of its power, like a volcano exploding in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, he's delivered you from the shame game.
Yes!
You're delivered from the shame game in Jesus' name. The devil's shame is lame. In other words, it's lost its effectiveness, it's lost its grip, and it's lost its power over your life. In the name of Jesus, I renounce, Father, every feeling of dishonor and guilt and degradation in the name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you for lifting him higher, lifting him up to the place where he needs to be. He wants you to ride on the high places of the earth. As the wind of the Spirit, spread out your wings and fly like the eagle in the name of Jesus. Oh, those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew your strength. Right now, your strength is being renewed, replenished, and revived in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, right now, that he experiences your freedom in Jesus' name. You do not participate with the devil in beating you up. You do not join forces with him, but you stand against him. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, because God's armor will keep you safe. God's armor will protect you. And through God's armor, you will prevail. In Jesus' name, let a fresh anointing come upon him right now, Father, in Jesus' name.